series for the month of November, a series called A Heart of Thanksgiving, because the very word thanks, it means something has been given to you to cause you to say thank you back to somebody for that. It might be an open door, it might be a smile, it might be a compliment, it might be a gift given to you. But somehow when thanks is always given, it means something actually was given to you for that thanks to actually come out of your mouth. And so I'm going to start this morning's here. The message is going to be called Happiness Comes Through Giving. Happiness comes through giving. And so if you have your Bibles, turn to the book of Acts chapter 20, Acts 20 verse 35. Once you find Acts 20, also keep your place if you could in Luke chapter 19. I'm going to read from both those parts of the New Testament here. You several verses beyond that as well, but I'll be reading Luke 19 extensively in a moment. And I've seen in our congregation, our church here prophetically, how God is speaking to us a very clear word about a season of recovery. I understand that our guest speaker last week, whose name was Glenn Hubbard, been a good friend of ours for many, many years now with that great church out there by Lake Travis. I believe he spoke here even last week on recovery and on Ziklag, I believe it was, and David, and how they recovered all. The same verse that God gave me the week before that. And so understand that whenever God is saying things like this, it means there's actually an anointing, there's a power and a grace in the atmosphere around us in our lives to actually see what God is speaking come to pass in your life. What I sense in God is saying is God wants us to recover many things that's been stolen from us both this year but also perhaps even in years gone by. These seasons don't last forever. Now, God's going to always be in the business of helping you recover things in your life. But I'm saying right now there's a focus on what God's doing among us. So don't take and tune out and just say this is just one more little series here we're going to go through right now. God really, as I believe I know, is breathing on a message here of recovering anything the enemy has stolen from us, whether it be things in the relational realm or things in the natural realm, financial realm. God wants to recover, help us recover everything that's been stolen from us in our lives. Amen? Amen. Five folks agree. So the word amen again means what? It means so be it. And so when you say amen, what you're saying is so be that for me in my life in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's read here Acts chapter 20, verse 35, New King James Version, Acts 20, 35. Happiness comes through giving. I found anytime also that God gives us a mandate of what he's trying to release among us, there's always an action of obedience that God requires on our part before what God wants to do takes place. So don't be a passive person. Understand that God will speak to you some things and promises he wants to do, but then God always gives you a mandate of what you do now to see that thing actually take place and come to pass in your life. Acts chapter 20, verse 35 says, I have shown you in every way by laboring like this, that you must support the weak. That'll never change until Christ comes back to the earth. And it says, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus. What did Jesus say? He said, it is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, the word blessed in the Greek language actually means happy. Makes us more happy in life to actually give out than to receive things for our lives. Just remember the words that Jesus Christ himself said, help out the weak until Christ returns back to the earth again, and it's always going to be more blessed to give than to receive. What he's saying there also is, you'll be more happy in life if you're a giver more than a taker and a receiver in your life. That's why I believe during the Christmas season, you see so many happy folks around us that are humming Christmas carols. There's a smile on their face for the most part because they're buying gifts to give out to other people. Giving in a God-made way always will bring to us a grace of happiness and joy in our lives that's actually even supernatural, and God wants that joy to be increasing in your life until Christ comes back. Okay, so having a blessed life is not about getting stuff or giving to receive. It's actually giving to give. God said in his word, you give, it shall be given to you. Good measure, pressed down, shaken together, running over. So shall men give into your bosom. And then God says, I'm going to give you an abundance, not to drown again in that gravy around you, but actually to have more gravy to pass around to people. You give to give, and God gives you a grace to have more and more, not for your own self, but for folks around you God puts in your path. And again, I want to say it to you again, as the day approaches before Christ comes back to the earth once again, there shall be more and more need to help the weak out, because the weak shall expand, they shall increase, they shall grow in number around us. until Jesus Christ comes back. He wants us, as a church of Jesus Christ, I know, postured to be those to be able to help people out that are weak, both in the church, but also outside the church, until Jesus Christ comes back. Amen? So I'm believing that God's helped you to recover so many things, not just to recover the things for your sake, but also to place inside of you a new faith and a new grace that no matter what the enemy steals from anybody around you, it can be repaid by the help of God's people, God's Word, and God's Spirit in Jesus' name. We need that in these last days. Amen? So let's look now at Luke chapter 19. Luke 19 is a story, true story, about a man named Zacchaeus. Y'all read that or heard that song years and years ago. Zacchaeus was a wee little man, and a wee little man was he. He climbed up in the sycamore tree for the Lord he wanted to see. So this is a story about Zacchaeus, chapter 19, verse 1. Let's read what it says about this. It says, "Then Jesus entered, and he passed through Jericho. And now behold, there was a man named Zacchaeus, who was a chief tax collector, and he was rich." It says he sought to see who Jesus was, but he could not because of the crowd, for he was of short stature. And so he ran ahead. He climbed up into a sycamore tree to see him, for he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and saw him and said to him, "Zacchaeus, make haste and come down, for today I must stay at your house for tea." For tea. I'm going to add those words in there, okay? I don't see tea in there. Okay, so he made haste, he came down, received him joyfully, but when they saw it, they all complained and said, he is gone to be a guest with a man who is a sinner. Then Zacchaeus stood and said to the Lord, "Look, Lord, I give half of my goods to the poor. If I've taken anything from anybody by false accusation, I'm going to repay back and restore back to them fourfold." And Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he also is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man has come to seek and save that which was lost." Now we see so many principles here given in the Word of God, in this verses here about giving, receiving, and principles of release and so forth. I want to focus on three main things this morning I see here in this story, Luke chapter 19. Three things you might want to write down as well. I've taken notes this morning. And those three words today are the words action and attitude and faith. He says here again in this story, "I'm going to give half of my possessions to the poor." That means there's always actions involved in your giving. Then he goes on and says, "If I have taken anything from anybody by false accusation," he's saying, "I'm now repenting, I'm now humble, and my attitude is now humility and getting out of arrogance, out of greed, into a new realm of giving. That's my new attitude in my life." Then thirdly, he goes on and says here again, "I restore now fourfold all things that were taken unjustly by me." That is an act of faith, but also faith married with restoration, reconciliation, and repaying back everything, even fourfold, that's been stolen from people unjustly around him. I see there's three main things that God does for us in the realms of giving. There must be action. There must be a change of attitude, right motives, and there must also be understanding that God will restore everything Satan has stolen from us, even sometimes paying back. I've seen fourfold, sevenfold things that have been stolen from us in our lives upon this earth. We're here today because God gave his Son, Jesus Christ. There's always giving as far as God's concerned. How many folks realize that in sentences, there's got to be a subject and there's got to be a verb to have a sentence? You can say, "Cheryl ran." You can say, "Chad jumped." There's got to be a subject and there's got to be a verb. Now, what is the main subject and verb of the Bible? Now, the shortest verse in the Bible says this. It says, "Jesus wept." That's the shortest verse in the Bible. Let's just say to you and I, that means that Jesus Christ was not sad much of the time. Shortest verse, Jesus wept. I believe Christ was joyful. I believe he was happy. I believe he was full of God's grace and God's joy almost every minute of his life. The shortest verse, Jesus wept. But as I see the whole entire Bible, what is the main sentence here for the Bible? I believe the subject is God, because the first verse, Genesis chapter 1, verse 1, it says God, and the last verse, Revelation's last verse of that, says Jesus Christ. And so God is the subject of the Bible. Now, what's the verb of the Bible? You might think the verb might be the word love, because the Bible says God is love. But I would say to you again above that, the word give is actually the verb of the Bible. God gives. Because the Bible says the most popular verse, John 3:16 says, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. You see, love will cause you to give. Amen? If you're a loving person, you're going to be a giving person. So God gave. And again, God gave his son, Jesus Christ. And because he gave his son, Jesus Christ, we now are born again believers in him. He gave his life on the cross for you and I. Because you gave your time this morning, you're here now in a Sunday morning service, giving your time to this service. Because you love your wife and husband so much, you give yourself to them in unadulterated service and help every day. Amen. That's why you have a healthy marriage in Jesus' name. And because you love your kids, you give to them also on an ongoing basis. Those you love, those you care about, you're going to find yourselves giving to them. And it brings happiness, it brings joy to your life because we're made in God's image, God's likeness, and God is always, always, always going to be a giver. That's good news because we're also going to be with God forever and evermore. And God will always be giving things to us by his grace and by his spirit. So write this down today. Number one point is, take home point, is there is action again in giving. There is action in giving. How many know that it takes, again, us doing something on our part to have God do things on his part in our lives? Matthew chapter 6 now, verse 19, let's read this. Matthew 6, 19 on the screen behind me, I believe. And it says here, these few verses here I'm going to read. It says, do not lay up for yourselves treasures on earth where moth and rust destroy, where thieves break in and steal, but lay up for yourselves, it says here, not God doing it, but you doing it, treasures in heaven where neither moth nor rust destroys, where thieves do not break in and steal, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. I want to say again, it says here very plainly, lay up treasures for yourselves in the life to come. I love trying to destroy again, when I can do this, a little bit of Hollywood's wrong perception of what heaven's all about. God is a big God. God's a God of imagination. God's a God of creativity. God's a God who has things that will blow your mind in the life to come. No boredom, no lifelessness, no wings on clouds strumming harps with little golden crowns on us only. God's got a far bigger heaven than that for you and I. Amen? I want to show some pictures right now to verify God's imagination, God's creativity, God's goodness, and what God can do in a small measure here upon this earth. This first picture here, show this now. This first picture is going to blast up here, I believe, by faith. Look at this. This is called, of course, a peacock. Look at God's artistry. Look at God's creativity. Look at those colors. Look at those lines. Look at those dots. Look at the blues, the greens, the hues. Look at that eyeball, that crown on the head there. Look at the detail God put in a bird like this. God's a God of creativity, beauty, and imagination. Amen. Look at this next picture. This is a snow leopard. Look at those blue eyes. Look at those stripes, those spots. Look at those colors that God put in there. Look at the way that God takes a cat and tucks his nose in. Isn't that amazing how you give them a little nose that they can cram in the dirt, they can bite something perhaps? Doesn't even hurt their little nose to do that. Look at the creativity God used in wisdom to make a creature like this we can actually adore and like so much when it doesn't attack us. Before the fall, this is a good animal. And it will be again. Look at this next one, this fish. Look at those colors, those lines, that detail that God puts into a tropical fish. And there's millions like this that are different than this all throughout the oceans of the earth. Look at what God has done. Look at this next picture here. This shows a tree. Look at those fall colors, how God can take green leaves and make oranges and yellows and hues there. They're just so brilliant there. God's a God of creativity, imagination, a God of life. This last picture here, look at this flower. Again, the colors, the brilliance, the details, how the whole thing's symmetrical, how the whole thing smells good, a fragrance being put to that as well. These things are things that show us God is not a boring God, a lifeless God, a God of clouds and harps on streets of gold only. God has great things in store for you and I forever and evermore in the life to come. Amen? And he's saying, store up treasures in heaven, because in heaven, it'll blow your mind what takes place there forever and evermore. I'm a God of creativity. I'm a God of imagination. I'm a God of responsibility. I'm not a boring God ever in the universe. Will God be like that? I'm going to tell you that right now. It is a fact. Amen? So moving on here again. Now let's look now at Romans chapter 8, verse 19. Romans 8:19, because I want to remind you guys again that the parables tell us when Jesus Christ talks about the kingdom of God, he says rewards are going to be given to those folks who were born-again believers in Jesus Christ, and those rewards will not be equal among the body of Christ. I want to say again, we'll have equal joy, I believe, and peace and gladness and praising God, worshiping God, seeing God's face, adoring him forevermore. Those will all be equal right across the board. I believe that. But God said there shall be an inequality in rewards given there in the life to come. That's why I covet and desire for you folks to have the greatest rewards you can have when you see Jesus Christ face to face. He has rewards with him coming for you guys individually, and your obedience, your walk with him determines your reward in the life to come as far as God is concerned. It says here, Romans chapter 8, verse 19. I'm going to read now the Phillips translation. This guy gives some great words here about this verse from the Greek language. He says, the whole creation is on tiptoe to see the wonderful sight of the sons of God coming into their own. The sons of God, you and I, coming into their own. This is a New King James Version here, but I think actually the Phillips translation also been typed up here. It says they're waiting, all of creation is waiting on tiptoes to see you and I be transformed by the power of God and come into our own as glorified, bodied people, fulfilling God's plan for all eternity in the universe forever and ever more. Amen? That means that you and I, these guys, the angels, are all on tiptoes trying to look over some blockage somewhere. I want to just get a glimpse and see the glory about to be revealed upon the whole universe as you sons and daughters of God come forth in Zion and serve God forevermore. Romans chapter 8, verse 19 is a powerful verse about this. Amen? Understand again that God's got in store for us excitement. He's got things of creation. He's got things here, expansion. The whole universe is expanding every single day on a daily basis. God's a God of creativity, a God of imagination. God's going to say to you and I once again, store up for yourself treasures in heaven. It's not going to be a waste of time to do that. You're going to be blown out of your socks about what God will do for you in rewards in the life to come. So going back now to the verse from Matthew, it says here again, lay up for yourselves treasures in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Now, some preachers even get this backwards. Some preachers say, where your heart is, there your treasure will be also. That doesn't say that. It says, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. You might be saying this morning, for instance, I have no heart for world missions. Well, I want to challenge you guys, give some money to world missions, because where your treasure is, your heart will follow every single time. Amen? How many folks have ever seen that if you buy a nice, big, expensive car and pay $500 a month payments on that car, where your treasure is, your heart kind of goes towards that car more so down the road because you're putting money into it. You put money into your house. You put money into your kids. You put money into your education. Where your treasure is, the Bible says your heart will always follow where your treasure is. That's why it says lay up for yourself not just treasures on the earth, but also in the life to come. Lay up treasures there, sow into God's kingdom. Where your treasure is, your heart will always follow in that treasure. So God does not tell us to lay up treasure because he needs those treasures, because God has need of nothing. Amen? God says, for your sake, you lay up treasures to receive God's reward in life to come for you once you get there yourself and see Jesus Christ face to face. Not for his sake. God doesn't need your gold. God doesn't need your tithes, your offerings. He doesn't need your service. God needs you to have a big reward in heaven. He wants to see you have a release here take place of magnificence in the life to come with God's grace and God's help. So Zacchaeus acts here. Zacchaeus gives half his goods to the poor. He pays back fourfold to those he actually ripped off and gypped in some way. Now, point number two is there's also an attitude in our giving, an attitude in our giving. Verse 6 verifies this about Zacchaeus. Verse 6 says, so he made haste. He came down from the tree and received Jesus Christ joyfully into his house. How many folks realize the Bible tells us that God loves us to be what's called cheerful givers? Amen? Not grudgingly, not of necessity, because God loves, God gives grace to, God blesses with happiness those who are cheerful givers in this life. How do you do that? How do you become a cheerful giver? The main way is hear what God says to you. When God says to give something and do something, you know, if God says it, there's going to always be a blessing attached to that. He never steals or kills or destroys. He always comes to give life and that life more abundant. Amen? So if God says, give something, do something, you'll be guaranteed that God will always do something on your behalf also when you do that, because God wants you to give even more so as your life goes by. Zacchaeus joyfully received Jesus Christ, so the spirit of joy was on him. And it turned him into a person that was joyful to give out half of his goods to the poor that day when Jesus Christ came into his life. If you struggle in the area of giving, you're going to also find yourself struggling in the area of receiving. Those who cannot give joyfully cannot also receive joyfully. Those who cannot give joyfully, those who can't give readily, those who can't give freely cannot also receive freely. You know, back in the old days, back on the farm in Missouri I lived at, we were taught there by my own dad, by the farmers around me, don't ever accept money from folks for things you do for them. I remember back when I was actually putting hay up for sometimes weeks at a time in Missouri in the hot July sun. I'd work there on the back of a tractor, driving a tractor for 2 or 3 weeks. And one day the farm girl named Diane Montgomery offered me $40 for the work I did in her behalf. But because my dad had trained me, don't ever receive money for things you do in life, I said, oh, that's okay. You just keep your money, I'll be all right. I don't need $40. It's 1972 and I'm only 12 years old, but no big deal. You just keep your money. That was a mistake. That was a wrong thing to do. And God starts saying to you and I, let's start taking this chokehold off of ourselves. When someone wants to give you something, receive that gladly, joyfully, and freely. Because you're a giver, you also can be a receiver also freely with God's help and God's grace. Amen. Some of us also have gone through legalistic backgrounds in churches where we saw God as a God who was tight, a God who was stingy, and a God who was always trying to find ways to receive things from us but not give anything back to us. But God is not like that. And so I'm saying, let's see that thing broken off our lives this morning that says God is tight, God is greedy, God always wants to receive, not give back to us. If you take and have to earn your things from God, earn His grace and earn His blessings, you're going to have to also take and preserve and protect yourself to keep those blessings and keep that grace by your own might, your own power, and your own will. And God says He wants that thing of religion broken off your life, if at all possible, to take place, even this day, I believe, before this service is over. You who know a lot or a little bit about American history, understand again that back in 1621, the Pilgrims fed the Indians on what we now call Thanksgiving Day. What took place there was, for 3 years, they had major droughts in the eastern part of our country. Those pilgrims had gone through starvation, they'd gone through sickness, they'd gone through disease, their crops were dwindling. They prayed to God, they prayed to God, they prayed to God, and finally God answered, God heard their prayers, and all of a sudden rains came back to their areas once again. For 3 solid days, the rains came down, the crops came back, the corn began to grow, the squash, the sweet potatoes, the corn, the peas, the cabbage, the broccoli, yuck, all these things started coming back to life once again. And these guys now had a feast of food to give, and they had so much bounty, they actually invited over 50 Indians to join them for that what's called a Thanksgiving meal that day. Now, how many here are glad that those pilgrims invited the Indians to join them for that meal? You got to realize, because they did do that, the Indians said, we see the blessings of their God. Many of those Indians received Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior by their generosity, by what they saw God do for them to answer prayer. It was a blessing not just to the pilgrims, but also those they blessed. They got blessed also by spiritual truths being put inside their hearts, in front of their eyes, in their minds, with God's help and God's grace. So praise God, the pilgrims were not tight-fisted. They weren't stingy. They were givers of the abundance that God gave to them. They gave thanks to God and said, here you Indian folks, you also need what we have. We give to you. Freely we received, freely now we give back to you with God's help and God's grace. So Thanksgiving Day is all about us, not just getting gorging on food ourselves, but also giving out to folks around us in need that might be weak and need what we've got, okay? So in 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and chapter 9, we'll read 2 verses here in a moment. These 2 chapters are about Paul the apostle going to the Corinthian church in a time of recession, a time of backwards economic reversal, and a time of lack, and a time of leanness. And Paul says in chapter 8 and chapter 9, several times he says, would you muzzle the ox while he treads out the grain? And he's saying there, why do I have to take and work a secular job when I'm giving you guys out spiritual food? Can't you not support me like other apostles got also supported in other places around this whole area of Asia and so forth? And he also says to them here again, he says, if I take and release a spiritual seed and truth among you, should I not receive a material blessing back from you somehow, some way? Well, these Corinthians say back to Paul, yes, but we are in recession. We cannot afford to give you one penny. You just go out there and do your tent-making job. Help us out spiritually because we're broke, we're poor, we're going through recession. What does Paul say back to them? Paul says, look at the church in Macedonia. These guys are poorer than you are, yet they are seeing needs being met because they're givers. They're giving out and receiving back by God's grace, God's hand, God's help. He says, use those folks. Macedonia is your example again. They are poorer than you are in the natural realm, but somehow, some way, God is blessing them with an abundance to give out offerings, support, and help, not just to me, but also folks around them in their churches are being blessed by the great things God is doing for them in their lives. What God is saying to you and I is, in these last days and times of economic uncertainty, don't be holding back in the realms of giving to others around you because of what may take place in a bad way down the road. It is time to be releasing things in the time of famine and the time of reversal. It's not time to put a chokehold on ourselves and say, I want to get all I can, I'm going to can all I get, and I'm going to sit on the can. Amen? It's not time to be doing that. It's time to be giving out of what God gives us in abundance with God's help and God's faith working in our lives. Let's read now 2 Corinthians chapter 8, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 8, 7 says, but as you abound in everything, you abound in faith, you abound in speech, you abound in knowledge, you abound in diligence, you abound in love for us. See that you also abound in this grace also. What's that grace? Read verses 1 through 7 sometime in your own time. You'll find the grace is giving. As you abound in faith and love, diligence, and so forth, also abound in giving this grace in giving also in this hour, in this time of recession taking place in our economy right here in Corinth. That's what he's saying. Let's read 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 7, one chapter later says, but let each one give as he purposes in his heart, not grudgingly nor of necessity, because God loves a cheerful giver. That word cheerful in the Greek language actually means hilarious. God loves hilarious givers. Now, I've been to some churches sometimes that actually had the folks clap and cheer and go crazy during offering time. That to me is kind of like could be a works thing somehow, some way. But it actually does mean here, God says, when you get revelation of what giving does for you and through you, you'll actually find yourself being a hilarious giver, looking forward to giving out to folks around you, as you cannot outgive God in your life or in your circumstances. Amen? You know, back about 3 or 4 years ago, I heard a story about a church in Dallas, Texas, where they had a big need there for a multi-million dollar building program. Building programs usually bring great stress to churches. They usually bring or can bring division. They can bring rumors and so forth and so on, because they must be held or done in a right, wise timing and in a way that does not bring too much pressure on the people. Well, in this church, God told the pastor, I want you to go ahead and hand out pledge cards to your people to raise, I think it was like $10, $20 million for this building program that's going to go on here. The church had 8,000 people going to that, so it's not such a big thing to think about as far as numbers of folks in the church is concerned in North Dallas, where folks are making pretty good money. Well, one man in the church, he said, he prayed to God and said, now, God, what do you want me to do as far as a pledge goes for the next 3 years for this building program like the pastor has talked about, for a three-year pledge? The Holy Spirit spoke back to him very fast. He said, give $50,000. This guy was going through a real lean time in his business. He was going through a time where he wasn't making a lot of money. He had contracts that were leaving him, not coming to him. He said, now how in the world do I do this? He became hilariously giving in a negative way. He said, that's hilarious, God. Good one. Yes, good one, God. Yeah, 50 grand. Yes, yes, God, yes. All of a sudden, he looks up in the sky. He's in the very flight path of DFW Airport. A jet's going over his head. Looks up in the sky at the jet. Holy Spirit speaks to him again and says, do you think the money's going to come from the sky? He says, go on your computer. Get on your computer. See your investments. See your bank accounts and see what I'll do with you and for you. So he goes back in his house. He's on the computer, pulls all of his accounts up, And God shows him how he can give $50,000 in his budget for the next 3 years. But it means cutting off this, cutting off that, and cutting off this. He says, well, God, I got to cut this off and cut this off and cut this off. And God says, yeah, yeah. Not, no big deal. I said, yeah, you got to cut it off. And so he cut those things off. 3 years goes by. When he made that decision, as the 3 years are going by, all of a sudden contracts started coming to him. An invention came to him. God began breaking loose things on his mind, his heart. Favor came on him. At the end of the 3 years, he paid his $50,000 pledge off with money to spare besides. He goes out in the backyard to give praise and thanks to God, looks up in the sky, an airplane is flying over once again. The very next day, a man knocks on his front door and says, I'm an official from the DFW Airport Authority. We have found that your house and houses that are next to you to the left of you, you're the last one to do this, have got a big nuisance by the jets flying over your house. We're going to give you right now a check for $50,000 for the bother of jets flying over your house in this flight pathway of DFW Airport. The guy got $50,000 check given to him the very day the pledge actually was fulfilled in his life. Plus, he got new contracts, new ideas, and a multi-million dollar invention came to him. Now, I'm not saying that to say to you, that'll be what God does for you also if you give your little $100 pledge in a building program. And you cannot make God do things like that. What I'm trying to say to you is, though, when you obey God's voice, he will always give back to you good measure, pressed down, shaken together, and running over. God will cause men to pour into your bosom. When you hear God's voice and obey God's voice, there must be actions, there must be attitude, and there must be a faith release there to see that the promise take place in your life. Amen? Now, I'm not giving this message here again because we want to receive more money at Tree of Life Church. Because I want to see you guys receive more breakthrough to help others even beyond this church in the days ahead. God wants all of us postured to see us recover everything the enemy has stolen from us. Part of the key of that is you being a free giver, not just a free receiver in your life, but also be a free receiver as well. Amen? You know, Cheryl and I had a guy at our church in Kansas. The couple drove around in a covered wagon and horses. I mean, what their names even were. They're in their 60s or early 70s. These guys went around from town to town preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ on horses and wagons by gathering groups around them in kind of a chuck wagon type atmosphere. They told us one thing that actually was, I thought was kind of humorous but true. They said, we got a policy in our life, and that is if somebody invites us out to lunch, we accept. That's our policy. And that was showing you and showing me we need to take the chokehold off ourselves. And folks want to give us something, give you something, take the chokehold off. Freely you give, freely also receive in Jesus' name. Amen? You're going to see God gives you ability to also receive, not just give in your life. Let's move on to number three. Third point is there is faith in giving. Faith that brings restoration also to your life. There needs to come a shift in some of our lives, I believe, even this morning in this church. And that is, you got to realize that some things happen in life that are not God's intention, like the hurricane right now in New York City. I don't believe that God brought the hurricane Katrina, or God brought the earthquake to Alaska, or God brings fireballs to whatever part of the world. The Bible says Satan comes to kill and steal and destroy. Amen? There's some things that take place on the earth that are not God's intentions. What God does is God watches his people to see what their heart and mouth response is when bad things happen upon the earth. It's time to pray for folks, release things, loose things, bind things, and believe God for God's divine intervention in Jesus' name. Amen? Don't take and curse the darkness. I'm saying speak to the light when bad things take place up on the earth, okay? And so I want to say again, there must be faith also in your giving, not just in finances, also in prayers, in praise, and worship. There must be faith given with that. Decisions of God are made either by the faith-filled activities of the church or by the lack thereof of the church upon the face of this earth. We need to understand that being spiritual does not mean you're going to find yourself always being wealthy. I'm going to repeat that. Being spiritual does not mean you're going to find yourself always being wealthy. What it will mean is you'll find divine peace and divine contentment take place in your life. You'll find that all your needs will be met by the riches and glory of Jesus Christ himself. And you will find, I believe, increase take place in your life in due time and due season as you're diligent doing God's word and God's ways upon the face of the earth. For those who are hearing, learning, or leaning into God right now with expectancy, also be aware in this season, look for natural things around you. There may be supernatural prophecies that God's doing things in a repetitive manner to bring forth a breakthrough to your life. I want to explain that. I told you guys about 6 months ago, our daughter Kristen up here, the children's pastor, in about a 10-day or two-week span of time, she rescued three people. She had somebody that was choking to death in Cracker Barrel, got the Heimlich maneuver done on her by some doctor or some fireman in the place. She had a man crack his head open and fall down at her apartment complex having a heart problem. She called 911 for him, got the ambulance out there, got him helped out. Then she also had a man in Sprouts collapse or fall down somehow, and also had cracked the person's head, went through a heart condition there, and they also called 911. She did, got help coming up to the front there. And so you see things take place like that in a short amount of time, especially in threes, is probably God trying to get your attention somehow, some way in your life, okay? Now, I'm going to ask a question right now. How many folks can say today that you can identify some things that were stolen this year in your life? Who can say that? Just raise your hand. Some things were stolen from you this year, in the year 2012. Now, who can also say right now that God's repaid some of those things back to you already? Who can raise your hand for that? They've been repaid back so far. A few of you guys, about half you guys, okay? So I really hear God's voice saying to me again today in this season, some things have been stolen from us, but God also wants to also repay some things back to us as only He can do. You know, Cheryl and I lost some things this year. I want to see repaid back to us in Jesus' name. I'm not going to go into great detail about some of those things, but one of those things was her gold necklace given to her by her own dad before her dad died for her 21st birthday was taken from her sometime this year. There were other things besides that taken from us. I think about three things were gone from us of value to us this year. I'm expecting that those sins to come back to us in Jesus' name, repaid back, and not just for those things and for stuff and materialistic type realm, but to see that thing broken off even our lives that would steal from us, that God pays back to us to release an anointing through us to see other folks also helped out, that God repays things back in their lives that was stolen from them with God's help and grace. Amen? Let's close here and read here Genesis chapter 26, verse 1. It says here in verse 1, Genesis 26, there was a famine in the land. Verse 12 goes on and says, then Isaac sowed in the land during famine, and he reaped in the same year 100-fold, and the Lord blessed him. There was famine in the land. Isaac sows into famine and receives 100-fold in the year of famine. Now, only God can do that. Amen. Let's go now to the New Testament. Acts chapter 11, verse 28, the prophet Agabus prophesies. And it says, then one of them named Agabus stands up. He showed by the Spirit there was going to be a great famine throughout all the world, which also appeared in the days of Claudius Caesar, all the world. Then the disciples, each according to his ability, determined to send relief to the brethren traveling in Judea. It says here the entire earth is going to go through famine, but these guys also go through famine themselves. They begin to sow into famine relief to folks in Judea out of their own means in their life. As James is back to the platform now to help me out, please, James. I want to say in closing here that right during the time of lack and famine and earthquakes and hurricanes, economic reversal, iffy presidents, things of that nature happening to us, do not belong to the culture only of this world around us. Realize you belong to the culture of the kingdom of God in your life and your heart. God is never in recession. God is never fearful. God never has lack. God is never worried. God is never concerned. The Bible says God laughs in heaven. God sees the evil's works around us, and God comes against those works, and God somehow turns bad into good. God brings beauty out of ashes somehow, some way. God brings answers from dilemma. God brings straightness and counsel from confusion, and God brings somehow recompense from being plundered and being thieved from by the enemy and by people around us and by circumstances in a lost and dying and fallen world. I want to remind you guys again, the God who made the snow leopard, the God who made the peacock, the God who made all the details of your life and your body fearfully and wonderfully made, is a God here among us right now today, that nothing is too hard for Him. So I'm going to pray this morning as we bow our head and close our eyes, that first of all, we're going to see a spirit of fear. and a spirit of holding back and a spirit of self-protectionism broken off of our lives, if it's there in any way at all, because God wants us to understand, freely you have received, now freely be able to give also. When you give freely, you can receive freely. When you receive freely, you can give freely. When you give freely, you can receive freely, so forth and so on. It's a circle of life that God gives to us, as only God can do. Now, Father God, we pray today, first of all, this day, help us, Lord, to rise above the bad news. Let us, oh God, rise above the bad reports around us. Those things, oh God, being sown into our lives by coworkers, by relatives that are good-meaning, well-meaning people, by family members, oh God, by the media, by the news, by movies and things around us, oh God, that would try to influence us in negative ways. Help us, oh God, discern the times, knowing the days are evil, but also knowing that you're the same yesterday, today, and forever. You are Jehovah Jireh, always, always our provider, who provides all of our needs according to your riches and glory through Jesus Christ the Lord. I pray, God, this day, first of all, take the chokehold off of our necks, off our backs, off our minds, off our hearts. Help us not be those that are self-preserving, that are self-protecting, that are fearful, that are trying to protect ourselves in these last days. But I pray, God, give us a liberal heart, a heart of giving, a heart of compassion, a heart of faith, a heart of action, a heart of a right motive and right attitude in the name of Jesus. Father, I also pray this day, make us, O God, be also an army that's joined together with one mind and one heart. The Tree of Life Church will be a church of even greater blessing, a place, God, of even greater outreach, a place, O God, that reaches not just the nations but also the peoples of our own communities, Father God, right here in the Austin Metroplex in greater measure. Help us all, God, be wise with what you've given to us. But I pray, Father God, as you bring to us these keys to see recovery take place in our lives, we know, God, would take what you give to us in abundance and not squander that, Father, but see it, O Lord, also being used to help others out in greater and greater measure in Jesus' name.